your city, your mayor. The Listen in the Morning with Mayor Joe Gannon, WICC 600.
Good morning, Mayor Gannon. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I want to obviously talk about the COVID vaccines happening in Bridgeport, but I do want to tackle something, and I have to imagine you know this is coming. We got to talk about Dan Pizarro. That's a story that really is upsetting to, I think, a lot of people, including myself. And, you know, I know Dan is somebody who works for the city. He's a friend of yours. He helped you with your 2015 campaign. What were your thoughts on his actions to have this party last weekend going against the regards that you have been very outspoken about following protocols and having 300 people show up?
It's gotten it was the wrong decision, as I think he said, or his lawyer said. And I think he's paying the price for it now. I think it was a fine issued by the town of Trumbull. The city immediately referred it to labor relations. So they'll review it with other aspects that it might implicate with regards to him being a city employee. Obviously, maybe it's not obvious, but this was in Trumbull. But as you say, you know, city employees and other city employees, too. So that has been referred, at least from a city perspective. I think he's finally, you know, there was some comments about it being a bad mistake and more people showed up and all that. So it'll be handled at least that way. And, you know, as you see us struggling through this pandemic, I think, you know, you touched on it, too, without too much fanfare. This vaccination and vaccines that are going to be up and coming now today in Bridgeport, I think, really paved the way for us kind of maybe see some light at the end of the tunnel for all of us. So we can get back to some normalcy in our lives.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of us would like to get some normalcy. And I know that I'm sure many people feel the way Mr. Pizarro did, which is that you'd like to celebrate a birthday or be able to even see a loved one. And if I could respectfully give a suggestion, I don't know if my word matters whatsoever, but I know like Senator Marilyn Moore would love to see this guy removed. I don't think that really makes much of a difference, to be honest. Some people would like stiffer fines. Again, I don't think that really makes a difference. To me, I think this is someone who is not in touch with reality. I think this is someone who needs to go to a COVID floor of a hospital and see what our healthcare workers are seeing. I think this is someone who should sit in a nursing home and see the many people who don't get to see their loved ones so he can really understand the weight of his actions. I think this was something that was incredibly atrocious, quite frankly.
Yeah, well put. I didn't see anything. I didn't see people, Marilyn Moore, I didn't see any comments like that. People certainly have a right to stake out opinions on that and other things. And, you know, so why don't we move on to what I think is really positive about what's going on with the 200 vaccinations that are going to be given in Bridgeport today as a kind of a flagship for the progress that I think we'd like to all see, whether you're 75 and older, whether you're a frontline worker, whether you're, you know, considerably younger or healthier. This is at least a first major step. And then it's happening at a day where the ambitious goal nationally has been put out there by President Biden at noon today, for basically a million people getting vaccinated a day for 100 days. That's 100 million people. You know, it almost reminds me of the leadership that we saw from FDR through some difficult times where we're saying, we're going to get through this together. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to put, you know, our shoulder to this thing and really have an impact. So I'm looking forward to that. Whether it can be accomplished or not, I think regardless, it's an ambitious goal that we should all kind of push on. Bridgeport has volunteers that have been sworn in today to help us do our part. Kind of proud of that, seeing that come across. You know, this is really a national effort, and I think we're going to see that now with the leadership and the change of the guard today at noon in Washington.
And we're back with Mayor Joe Gannon here on WICC 600.
I did read an article now that you mentioned the campaign with Marilyn Moore. I did read an article, I think, or maybe it was on the air, where she had two violations for forging signatures, one she pled guilty on. Maybe that was what the article I read. I said I didn't see it, so I just want to be accurate on that.
Yeah, I mean,
the vaccinations
she... Yeah, I was going to say, so
the Election Commission just hit her for... when she was forging signatures during
I don't
the
really yeah and I and yeah
politics out of this I think is not appropriate, so let's move on.
But Mayor Gannon, but you are a good friend of Mr. Pizarro, and I think it's only fair to ask what you're going to do to hold this guy's feet to the fire.
Right,
you know,
well, you said, well said. But the other thing that's going on today, because we're going to run out of time, and I think people want to hear about a lot of things too, is they're topping off the amphitheater today. So breaking news, they're topping off the amphitheater today, and I think they're getting close to being able to look at the announcements for what will be a pretty, again, COVID pending. Everything centers around COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And now vaccinations, but opening the amphitheater in Bridgeport. If you go by it on 995, when you see that big thing, it looks like a spaceship almost, if you're traveling north on the right, that's the amphitheater that's going to have the weather-resistant, you know, kind of topping on it, but at the same time be an outdoor venue. As they say, I think nationally it's going to be something to rival anyplace else. So we're excited about that. We'll certainly get some words out on that as we go ahead. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to try and cover as well.
How do people get their COVID vaccines in Bridgeport? I know it's only by appointment, but right now if they call like the 800 number, people are being sent to East Hartford. So how do you suggest people in that area get actually vaccinated in Bridgeport?
Well, you have to be through eligibility. And I think there's emails that I know that, for instance, my parents got, now they're not in Bridgeport, but they didn't, and they got them from their town. But there is a process, and they can call the health department as well. I think we'll have information as it kind of comes out today on exactly that. But, again, it's the same eligibility requires that we've heard nationally. I think we know the criteria. They're calling it A1 first, and then, I mean, 1A and then 1B, which is the age limits once you get past the first responders. Our uniformed services have gotten, I think I mentioned this last week, have started getting shots. I don't know how many have or haven't, but it's a good thing. It's an ongoing process. It's 200 vaccinations to be administered today. I mean, that's kind of a nice thing. Rowena told me to highlight that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Vans, you can register on Vans. Vans is a system, and you do have to register.
Okay. And I know that also Rowena had mentioned that we're hoping this could become a permanent location for COVID vaccinations. It's going to depend on how many volunteers we get to run it.
I think the volunteers, that part is good. And I think that's the goal, that this will be a permanent location. So that's another good thing going on. And we'll give updates, I'm sure, during the week, but especially next week when I talk to you again.
All right. Well, thank you, Mayor Ganim. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break for just a PSA. I got to collect my thoughts a little bit.
Listen all morning through your Amazon Echo. It's Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
Something stinks, and it is this story. Let me tell you. I have been digging through, just looking at some of the details of this story this past weekend, and it's a little infuriating, if I do say so myself. It's one of those moments where you kind of take off your reporter cap for a second, and I put on my residential cap and my just being a citizen and just being a Connecticut resident and being told for months and months and months to abide by the rules of COVID and the protocols that are in place. And then you look at a story like what happened this past weekend and you think to yourself, no. Now, this can't be real. Oh, but it is real. I'm talking about the massive party that was held in Trumbull, Connecticut this last weekend. And it was Daniel Pizarro, who works for the city of Bridgeport. He works in the office of, I believe it's the Housing Code Office Department. He's in the Housing Code Office. This guy's also a real estate guy. In fact, earlier this month, we learned that Daniel Pizarro, who helped Mayor Ganim with his 2015 campaign, actually as a supporter and with outreach, has decided to buy up two more prominent downtown storefronts. So he is somebody who's very much into real estate. He's very successful and he owns a lot of real estate. And it sounds like some of it is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So he also has very close ties to Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim. Now, what I think is interesting about that is the fact that Mayor Joe Ganim has been very outspoken about the COVID pandemic. He was one of the first mayors, one of the first town or city leaders in the state of Connecticut to put a curfew in place. And he got a lot of backlash for that. In the very beginning of the pandemic, he decided he was going to shut down restaurants, convenience stores at an earlier time in the evening, and people were not happy about it. but he felt that we needed to do it. This was a guy who, when they were opening up the Trumbull Mall, he said, awful idea. He was one of the only people who said, nope, we're not opening up malls. That's a horrible idea. Hate it. Can't believe it. Cannot even imagine walking into a mall. How could you imagine walking into a mall? This is Mayor Ganim. You may remember he was on this show talking about how serious this pandemic is. And he has shown through and through that he takes it very seriously. So it begs the question, Mayor Ganim, how a very close friend of yours, a real estate mogul in Bridgeport and someone who works for the city of Bridgeport, is only paying a $500 fine after throwing a party with 300 people? And the only reason that party ended was because there was an anonymous tip about parking being a problem? Are we serious here? Like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. This can't honestly be real, but it is real. It is real. And what this is proving to me is the fact that money, once again, talks. And power, once again, and your status, talks. Here's a guy who I don't even really care if he keeps his job. I don't really think that makes much of a difference. I don't even really care if he pays $1 million in fines, because honestly, this is a cocky guy that, if you read anything in the Connecticut Post, the quotes that he was said or that he had said and he was quoted in the paper saying was, yeah, no, I'll cover the fine. I'll cover everyone's fines. It's no big deal for him. It's nothing. It's pocket change for him. He doesn't care. So instead of being so focused on how do we punish this guy, here's where I would focus it. Listen up, Mr. Pizarro. Here's the deal. Bridgeport has the highest infection rate in the whole state of Connecticut. Okay, so even though they may be doing well right now or better, at one time, the highest infection rate was right there in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The people you work for, Mr. Pizarro. I'll even do you one better there, my friend. The people who are working in our hospitals day in and day out, who have not even been able to see family or loved ones, who have not even been able to stay in the same bedroom as their spouses because they're too frightened to give their loved ones COVID-19. For the people who have had to watch others suffer and even die at their hand because of this wretched pandemic, sir, why don't you go talk to them and go see what it's like? Why don't you go scrub up, mask up, and just sit quietly and watch what goes on just one day in a hospital on a COVID floor? Why don't you go watch that? You let me know how that goes. Or better yet, why don't you go to any nursing home, anyone, pick one, I don't care. Go to anyone you want and watch every single person miss their loved one for another day today. Instead of thinking that your birthday actually matters, which, look, God bless you. Glad you made it to 42. But here's the thing. Side note, everyone probably either reached a birthday this year, didn't celebrate it, didn't see loved ones, didn't feel like it was significant, or, let me do you one better, people didn't make it to their birthdays this year because they perished from COVID-19. And guess what? The people who perished this year from COVID-19, Mr. Pizarro, guess what? They didn't get the funeral that they deserved. They didn't get the closure they deserved. These were people who died in nursing homes and in hospital beds and didn't have the surroundings of their loved ones with them when it happened. And yet you think it's okay to have a 300-person party? Let me also add on to the fact that the 300 people who thought it was totally fine to show up to this party, despicable. If you thought it was okay to show up to a party and you look around, there are no masks, everyone's drinking, nobody really cares. Like, I don't know, did I miss the memo that this was the end of the year party or the end of the world party, rather? Like, did I miss that memo that, like, the world is ending tomorrow? Because if not, what other reason did you have to sit at a party like this and condone what Mr. Pizarro thought was worth having a party about? A 42nd birthday party. You have got to be kidding me.
Good morning, Dan. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Melissa, good to be on.
Good. I'm glad to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about what else? Business news. First of all, let's talk about the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, and the latest for our Bridgeport and surrounding area businesses. What could you tell us?
Yeah, so as of yesterday, all lenders that are going to be participating in the program are accepting applications on behalf of their clients to submit to the Small Business Administration for another round of capital for businesses that are, you know, in need of some capital to keep their operations running or pay expenses. So I would just encourage a lot of businesses, if you haven't already, you know, contact your banks. Don't assume you don't qualify. Go through the process. See, you know, check all the boxes, and hopefully you can get some additional capital there that ultimately you can go through the process of getting it forgiven. And then if they have any other questions, of course, our office is always available, BRBC, the Bridgeport Regional Business Council here in Bridgeport.
Do you know when the soonest they would see some of that relief money?
You know, I haven't heard much. I think, you know, because it just opened up, I'm not sure of the timeline of distribution of those funds. But I suspect it's going to be pretty quick because the process is very similar to the first round. And if you're a second draw applicant, if this is your second process, you know, it should be a little bit smoother only because the banks have you already in the SBA done. So I suspect it'll be a little bit of a smoother process. The first time folks, you know, might be a little bit longer only because it's their first time to, you know, to get all the administrative back end stuff logged in might take a little bit longer. But I don't suspect it'll be too long because they were pretty efficient once they got the process nailed down the first go around last year. So I suspect it'll be pretty quick.
Dan Onofrio's here with the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. And actually, your next point here, Dan, interestingly enough, I was talking to my sister who works in healthcare in Connecticut. We were talking about this last night at dinner, actually, and that's Step Up Connecticut. The fact of the matter is people are desperate to get the COVID vaccine, which is a good problem to have. People want to get the vaccine, which we were debating if that was going to be the case. But the problem is we want to see more local spots open up. We know that Bridgeport is having their center today at Central High School open up, but I don't know if that's permanent. And I think one of the biggest issues with opening up more COVID vaccine sites is the fact that you need people to man it. You need manpower. You need people to actually get the cars through, people to actually monitor people 15 minutes after they get the vaccine. There's a lot that goes into it. What can you tell me about this and sort of a push to get more volunteers included?
Yeah, that's the hot topic right now. So as the hospitals and the medical professionals look to scale, as they become more readily available and another shipment comes through into Connecticut, you know, obviously we want to disperse this and get people vaccinated as quickly and efficiently as possible. So there's two things going on. Obviously, they're looking to broaden where you can get your vaccine. So we're hopeful that we can identify other areas with throughout the region in Bridgeport where we can set up safe environments for people to receive the vaccine, just so, you know, we're not all jamming through one particular facility and to make it convenient. The other part is, as you mentioned, the volunteer program. And I mentioned this on another call that we had a while ago, just like when we were looking for teachers in the school programs, there's a Step Up Connecticut program that's available to sign up for those that are willing. You need to be 18 or older, and you can sign up CT.gov site. If you go under the coronavirus section on the site, you'll see there's a tab there. It's a Step Up Connecticut. And really, we're looking for, you know, those retired nurses, folks that are able to be trained to help administer the vaccine and help from a volunteer perspective. And this goes on the healthcare services. You know, they're also looking for folks to help with food distribution centers, as I mentioned earlier, to teachers. So it's not limited to the healthcare stuff, but I know they want to look to scale as we look ahead to the weeks and months ahead, as, you know, more and more people qualify for getting the vaccine and the vaccine becomes available. So it's a great program. And if it's confusing or if you want another avenue resource to volunteer, I would, you know, specific to administering the vaccine, I would also suggest if you go to the site, contact your local health department. I know a lot of the health departments are also corralling some folks to prepare for distribution of the vaccine.
All right, Dan. No, that's great. We appreciate the information. Dan Onofrio of the Bridgeport Regional Business Council, thank you so much for coming on this morning. And hopefully we see more volunteers as we open up more sites as well. Thank you.
You're welcome, Melissa. Always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
It's time to go beyond the classroom and check in with the Discovery Museum. It's science you may not know on WICC 600.
Good morning, David. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much for asking. So let's talk about using a galaxy-sized observatory to hunt for ripples in space-time. So first of all, what do you mean ripples in space-time? What is that?
Oh, yeah, this is great. So Einstein made some incredible predictions. And one of the most amazing things that he did was find the connection between gravity and space and time itself. He would say that that gravity or massive things would tell space how to bend, and space would tell mass how to move. And so there was this real intimate connection between gravity and space. Space itself, space-time is what he would call it, the combination of space and time. And so one of the most remarkable predictions that he make is that, as things are accelerating and moving around in space-time, it could actually create ripples, like waves, in the space-time itself. And so if you have like really massive objects, black holes orbiting each other, neutron stars banging into each other, it would actually cause space to ring.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's insane.
yeah. And so we had hints that the ripples themselves are really, really weak. So I mean, if you had one of these, for example, a ruler that was in front of you, and a really strong gravitational wave went right through that ruler, you would see for just a very brief moment the ruler would stretch and shrink as the wave passed by. And that's because the ruler is actually measuring the space. And because rulers measure space, and if the space stretches and shrinks and stretches and shrinks like a little wave passing through it, you would actually see the ruler change its size.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, and so what happens is that we actually were able to kind of guess that gravitational waves existed when we were using these things called neutron stars. Neutron stars are dead stars, but sometimes they have such strong magnetic fields and they're spinning so fast, about as fast as a blender, they send out these pulses of radiation in milliseconds. And so we're seeing like these clockwork pulses of radiation that are being sent out. And so these scientists decided to create this experiment, and they created this thing called NanoGrav. It stands for the North American Nanohertz Observatory for Gravitational Waves.
Cool. Where is that?
Yeah. So there was a couple. There are two telescopes. Mm-hmm. One was in Green Bank. That is a radio telescope. I think it's in West Virginia. The other one, though, was in Arecibo.
Hmm.
It was actually the Arecibo telescope.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, we're down one.
Yes. I was going to say, isn't that the one that like collapsed very
it
recently?
Did, yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's what I thought.
We were exactly. Yeah. So what we were using these telescopes for, mm-hmm, was to receive the radio pulses from these pulsars.
Oh, wow.
That are stars that are basically dead stars that are pulsing out in space. But we can use them like a GPS constellation so that we can figure out where Earth is. And if Earth has shifted in position, if a gravitational wave went through it. And so if you think of a little cork bobbing up and down when a wave passes by, mm-hmm, our Earth is in space. We're measuring these pulses. And if we bob a little closer to one pulsar, the pulsar signals arrive a little earlier, and if we're bobbing away from another pulsar, the pulsar signals arrive a little later. And so we measure this over a very long period of time because these waves can take years to like decades for us to get this little bobbing and up and down. And so over 13 years of observations, we think we found a signal, and it's the hum of space-time itself.
Wait, wow. So what is the significance of that? That's amazing.
It's the significance of that is that we've got a new way to probe the entire universe. So before, we used telescopes to, mm-hmm, study the universe. the telescopes that we're using are basically receiving light from distant objects.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is another way for us to probe the universe by using the gravitational waves and radiation that's coming from distant objects in the universe too. And so we can think of objects like maybe giant galaxies colliding with each other, merging black holes that are happening around us in the universe, many other phenomenon that emit gravitational waves.
Wow.
And so we're creating detectors on Earth to be able to finally detect this completely invisible form of energy that's passing through us all the time that we never really notice because it's such so vanishingly small to pick up.
That's amazing. So, you know, when you hear that there's only two of these telescopes, so to speak, mm-hmm. one of which is gone now, like, are there plans to create another one, or is the one that's in West Virginia, is that going to suffice to get the job done?
We're just going to have to use the one in West Virginia now until we have an opportunity to use another telescope. Now, there is another large-scale radio telescope that is in China, and so we, you know, that there is a possibility of being able to use that to do some more pulsar, observation work. But for now, we're now kind of stuck with one radio telescope to do more of these observations.
Wow.
And it'll, you know, we need to collect more data and collect more timings in order for us to really be certain that what we're seeing is really the ripples of space-time, the little waves that are just out there in space, causing space to ripple and stretch and shrink.
That's amazing. So it's not just surfers trying to catch a wave. It's also astronomers. There you go.
Exactly.
Had to throw a dad joke in there.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. Well, David Mestre, thank you so much. My dad hopefully is proud of it. Thank you, David. We appreciate it. And we'll talk again next week.
All right. Take care, Melissa.
All right. Thanks. You too.